And now it's time to play Good Thing, Bad Thing. Because every story has a flip side. You know, it's spring, you want to get outdoors and get into nature already. And if you're like a lot of folks, maybe you're using an app to discover and appreciate the plants and animals around you. Science Citizen apps, citizen science apps that let you log an observation or ask for help in identifying anything. But there is a downside. You can love nature almost to death. Joining me now to talk about that is April Glazer. She's a technology writer at Slate based in the San Francisco Bay Area. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks. Great to be here.
All right. So all these citizen science nature apps, what's the good thing about them?
Well, obviously, we want to encourage people to care about and be fascinated by the natural world. And one way to do that is to log what you find and then to see what other people have found and then go and try and find that yourself. And so citizen science nature apps kind of create a community of learning around nature. And that's a very, very good thing, because the more people learn, the more people care. And then hopefully the more we'd be, you know, wanting to protect it.
Yeah. So they kind of like making spawning things into a game, right?
Yeah, often. I mean, you know, we try to get, you know, more identifications, and or they often have kind of competitions to find more amphibians or more flowers and wildflower spotting competitions. But really, it's not about competing as much as it is about, you know, just encouraging people to get out there, find more things. And also it benefits science, because then we have more data about what's out there.
So what could be bad about this?
Well, when we share things online, especially open and to the public, that means that nefarious actors can see it too. And, you know, one of the great things about these citizen science data apps is that it allows people to share hard to find things, which are really exciting. But that means that poachers can also find them. And so a few years ago, eBird, which is the largest citizen science database in the world, realized that it had to fundamentally change its code to obfuscate and hide threatened birds to protect them from poachers who, you know, would go to these kind of this birder app and then be able to find when, you know, an enthusiastic nature lover spotted a rare bird and inadvertently take it. Or not inadvertently, but just take it.
Yeah.
Poaching.
They did.
Rather.
Okay, so is there a middle ground where we can find some peace here?
Yeah, so, you know, different apps like eBird and iNaturalist have worked really hard in recent years to obfuscate and hide threatened taxa. And so when you enter in a bird that is on a sensitive species list for eBird, then it's not going to show up publicly. You'll be able to see it on your list so you can know what you saw, but it won't be shared to a public list, and when you share your list with other people, they won't be able to see it. And so they've had to kind of rebuild their system entirely, because it was built fundamentally to be as open as possible. And so they had to kind of restructure their database. Same with iNaturalist. Now they just show you kind of the general area where the specimen was found. So it'll say that it was found in Oakland, California, for example, which doesn't really tell you much. But it won't tell you the exact mountain or latitude and longitude as it will with other plants.
I was going to say, is this a really new idea? Because if you talk to an expert, let's say you're a mushroom expert and you discover a really rare mushroom, you're not going to tell everybody where it is, are you?
Yeah. So for a long time, it's been kind of standard practice and etiquette in the, you know, kind of people, the native plant community and the bird watching community, to not share information about threatened species. Like even scientists that publish papers won't put exact coordinates about what they found, even if they have that data and they kind of share it amongst scientists, they won't publish that. But, you know, as this stuff gets more popular and as it gets online where everybody can see it, we've had to really build that into the systems. But it's true, you know, what in a previous generation might have taken poachers years to map can now be downloaded in minutes.
And there you have it. Thank you very much, April, for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks. It was a lot of fun.
April Glazer, technology reporter for Slate, based in the San Francisco Bay Area.